Welcome to the Easy to Swallow podcast, where we take hard to swallow topics and break them down into digestible bits so the truth goes down smoothly. Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Josh Barrow reporting live from Easy to Swallow.
It's Mary, but... Josh,
I don't sound
there.
Like that at all, and everyone knows this.
I'm trying to make a deep voice. I'm trying to be manly.
You made me sound like I am a zombie and I'm attacking. So, just a heads up.
That was my male impersonation, so it's as good as it's going to get, Josh.
Can you do a male impersonation as if I was a girl you were hitting on?
Like, I hit on you? I'm the male?
You're the male, and I'm a hot female that you want to hit on with your male voice. Go.
What is my pickup line, though?
It's you're the guy. I can't tell you this. I'm the girl. You have to pick me up.
I hate pickup lines. I think just going up to a girl and saying hi is much better than, like, oh, it looks like you fell from the sky.
Okay, now you sound like Southern California. I don't know where you're transitioning from, even though I am from there. So I guess that kind of makes sense if you're supposed to be me.
Is that a better one?
Yeah, that works. Okay. You got me. I'm going home with you now. So you got my vagina.
Perfect. So I just nailed that one.
So I think a lot of people are going to appreciate this episode, even though I don't think you will as much.
I'm not going to appreciate this episode.
Okay, so... So everyone who remembers episode one, the good old days back when we were up to 6 listeners and now we're at 7, just magnifying our numbers.
Don't be so modest. We're in the hundreds now, Josh.
Actually, yeah, we are. Actually, well, in terms of engagements, we're in the thousands. So I'm actually pretty happy with everyone, what they're doing, sharing and everything. I appreciate that.
So should I do a little bit ASMR to thank our listeners?
Yeah, get them.
Okay. Thank you so much for following Easy to Swallow. We love our listeners. And we want a lot more listeners. So tell all of your friends to listen to Easy to Swallow podcast. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
I can't stand up now.
Yeah, everything's stiff.
Well, you got up on the mic too, so I'm glad we're doing video now. I think your OnlyFans is ready.
Molested this microphone.
Your OnlyFans is ready. Now you know what to do. So, what this episode is, the callback to episode one, where I mentioned the Mighty Ducks movie, and you haven't seen it, or any of them. And I got, not joking, at least a dozen texts with people specifically mentioning that I can't believe she hasn't seen that movie. And apparently you got some feedback, too, on that.
Yeah, apparently the whole world was really disappointed that I have not seen the Mighty Ducks. And I don't get it. Like, this has happened to me my entire life. Like, when it comes to, pop culture or whatever's in, I'm typically always the one that's, everyone else will be super excited about some movie or something. And I'm just like, oh, that looks shitty. I guess I'll skip it.
Sorry, I'm having technical issues now. My mic fell over. Okay.
Oh, no.
So I'm from Anaheim, which before the Mighty Ducks had a hockey team, it was the movie. The movie's what made the team. So I'm obviously wearing my Golden Knights hat now. But in honor of this episode, I am wearing my Mighty Ducks hat that I got from the stadium back then when I was a Mighty Ducks fan. So there you go. So now I am legit verified for this episode. I want to make sure that people note that I'm always a Golden Knights fan. Number one, that's my team. But I'm wearing this for the episode here. So Mary, you have now... I asked you to watch all 3 Mighty Ducks movies. Did you complete your task?
No. I watched the first one.
And that's it?
I couldn't go on. My heart could not go on. After the first one, I was like, okay, I'm done. Watching 2 and 3 would be, I've always been an overachiever, but not when it comes to the Mighty Ducks. I was waiting for the movie to be over. Honestly.
I'm sorry. I just, I know
you died.
I don't know what to say right now. I'm physically upset, even though you can't see it inside. Like I'm on the verge of like kind of crying. Like this, I grew up on this movie. Like this movie was, especially being from Anaheim, like this was my movie.
Okay, let me ask you this. If the movie did not take place in Anaheim, would this movie have mattered to you? Or is it only because it's close to home?
So hockey is like the fourth most popular sport, although it's gaining momentum. At the time this movie came out, I don't remember, it wasn't a team before the movie made it a team. It wasn't the other way around. So I definitely remember asking my dad to get me a hockey stick because of this movie. So it was the movie. It just so happened that it became a national hockey team from the city I'm from after the fact. So that kind of magnified it. So, and this, a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of boys and everything my age would say the same thing. Like, hockey is just not a popular sport. This movie made it kind of popular in the West Coast. So, just so you know, I'll tell you about the second and third one, just what happened. So you saw what happened the first one. We'll talk a little more about that. In the second one, they end up competing in the Junior Olympics. So they start adding a few more members to the team from different parts of the country. And then the third one, they go to high school, which is a private school. So they get a scholarship and they get in a fight with like the varsity team. It's like a battle with the varsity team. So in the second one, they battle with Iceland because Iceland's like the number one hockey team in juniors. And then in the third one, they battle with the varsity team at the high school they're at now.
So I know the first movie takes place in 1992. For the second and the third one, like when were they released?
I think it was, the second one was 94, and then the third one was 96, I'm pretty sure. The kid that played Charlie, which is Joshua Jackson, everyone kind of knows him, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of girls liked him. The kid that played Charlie, you remember him?
I don't remember their names.
So Charlie was the one who Emilio Estevez started dating the mom. He was like the captain of the team.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
yeah.
You hated this movie.
Yeah, I hated it. I was like looking at the time, but also to tell everyone how dedicated I am. Okay, the movie's only on Disney Plus. Like you can't find it anywhere else. And I wasn't about to download Disney Plus. So I had to go. We want to give a shout out to Russia because I went on a Russian site where you get the movies. So shout out to Russia for figuring out how to bypass Disney Plus.
How do you say thank you in Russian?
Well, you could just, well, I'm Bulgarian though.
Yeah, but I thought you could understand Russian.
Well, I mean, I can understand Russian, but like, I don't think they say, like, there's a couple different ways to say thank you in Bulgarian. One of them is благодаря, and then the other one is merci.
Спасибо.
So, which everyone knows. So, I don't think they say the first one the same way, though. I could be wrong.
So, I remember this when I went to Russia. It's спасибо.
Спасибо. Yeah, but I don't think they do. They have an. I know that one, but I mean, do they have another way of saying it?
Like, oh, I mean,
the Bulgarian version. I don't think they say anything remotely close to that.
Okay, because when I was there, I just after dinner or something, and the waiter waitress, I would say "spasibo." So I this kind of makes me sad because the movie is literally just so iconic. I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm like, oh my god, my microphone again.
It's okay, you still sound crisp.
Yeah, but I gotta fix this. Dang it. Okay, so I'll just keep talking while I'm fixing this. Like I'm playing with a Lego set, basically. Whoop. Jeez. Embarrassing. We're always having these problems. Like, what's up with our podcast?
I don't know. Like, shit just keeps falling apart, getting knocked over, but your voice, you mean?
Go. It changed microphones.
Oh, now you sound the same.
Okay. It automatically changed microphones without telling me.
Okay, now you're good.
There we go. Jeez, that's embarrassing. Okay, man, Joe Rogan.
We're super organic.
I can't.
We're organic and easy to swallow. Sometimes it's really hard to hear or listen to us, but
Joe Rogan must be so jealous of our setup. So, I mean, you got the sheep in the back. It's just good times. I mean, I love
a new studio in Texas, which is like ridiculous. But here we are with my cutout.
I mean, I love Mighty Ducks so much. I mean, look at this background. Oh shit, that's not okay. I guess
that's a nice one.
I didn't mean to do that one. I don't know why that's on there. I didn't put it on there. Just so you know, I don't know how that happened.
Your favorite movie, for those of you listening, the Titanic background is behind Josh.
And here we go. There we go.
There we go. We have the right one.
Okay, so basically, Emilio Estevez right here. That's Joshua Jackson right over there. Okay. That's Emilio Estevez, which you know him from other movies, I'm sure. No?
Like, which other movies is he in?
Oh, my goodness. crap, I can't even... Oh, my God.
Do you need me to pull up IMDb?
That's what I'm doing right now, actually. Now you got me all tossed up. I know it's like... I mean, he kind of disappeared as of late, but he's coming back for the Mighty Ducks spinoff. On Disney Plus. I mean, one of my favorite, I think he was in Tombstone, right?
Hold on. I'm pulling up his
Young Guns. That's the movie he was in. I used to love it. It's a Western. I love Westerns. He was in The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew his little face was familiar. Yeah.
So obviously that's probably his most iconic one other than this movie.
Okay.
But he was in The Breakfast Club, you know, the wrestler kid. And then he was in Young Guns, which is a Western movie, which I loved. And he kind of hasn't been in, like, major movies since then. He kind of, like, disappeared from, like, 2000. The last 15 years, he hasn't been in much. So I think he retired from acting or something. I don't know.
No, yes. He didn't retire. I'm looking at all his credits and stuff. I think he's just been on a lot of shows.
Yeah, yeah. So
I see him on like 2.5 Men.
Yeah, so here's the thing. There was a joke in the movie A Night at the Roxbury, which I don't know if you've seen that.
I did a long time ago. I used to love that movie when I was a kid. I love the soundtrack. Like, me and my mom used to dance to the soundtrack.
Oh, God, yes. It's so good. What was the name of that song that was really popular?
Baby Don't Hurt Me No More, What Is Love by... is that the one you're talking about?
What? Yeah, it's... can you hear this?
What Is Love, right? Wait, is that the name of it? Yeah, it is. What Is Love by Hathaway.
Can you hear that?
Don't
hurt me.
Yeah.
And then they do this?
Yeah.
This is like
you're actually really good at that.
So the funny thing about that movie is there's a part where they said they met Emilio Estevez. Do you remember this? And they start screaming, Emilio!
They're talking about him. I don't remember that part of the movie. Like, that didn't make an impression on me, apparently.
Well, now you know who they're talking about. They're talking about him.
Oh,
so they thought it was a big deal to meet Emilio Estevez, and the girls they were trying to impress didn't care. So that, I just thought that was funny. So,
so this movie basically got Emilio laid a lot, is what you're saying.
Breakfast Club got him famous. Mighty Ducks got him like more iconic.
Okay, sure. So he's an icon.
So I think I'm going to go back to this one. I kind of like this. So speaking of iconic movies, I mean, geez. I mean, we might as well just go off on all the kind of movies we could think of right now. But two kids from Mighty Ducks were actually in The Sandlot. One of them was the what's his name? His name was Jesse Hall, the one that called the kid a cake eater. That black kid, I think he was the only black kid on the team. He was also in Sandlot. He was the pitcher. If you don't remember that. And, you know, I want to give a fun fact out there because I found out why Cake Eater is a diss. Because I didn't know this when I was watching the movie at the time. It refers to a part of Minnesota because it says the people that live in that part of Minnesota are so rich that they could have their cake and eat it too. It could also refer to rich white suburban kids in general too. And by the way, Mighty Ducks was filmed in Minnesota, so he's probably literally calling that kid a cake eater from that part of Minnesota. So it's actually, I thought it was just a dumb diss, but it actually has context. So that's kind of fun.
Is that what people call each other in Minnesota?
Oh, I disappeared.
Like, you fucking cake eater?
I guess that became like a thing. So, this background's killing me.
I've never been there, but if I were to go, I know what to call people out there.
There you go. Yeah, cake eater. It's just basically you're calling them snobby. That's really what you're calling them.
Hmm.
And then with Sandlot, I mean, talking about big movies, I mean, there's got to be some other big baseball movies that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. As part of my research, because, you know, I love sports, and we've discussed this, A League of Their Own.
Oh, my God. So good.
That has Madonna in it.
Please tell me you liked it. Please.
Okay, I did. Okay, so starting with my research, as most of you guys know, I don't understand sports. Sports movies, I mean, this is a challenge, but I like to challenge myself in life because it makes me a more well-rounded person. So I watched A League of Their Own before I watched The Mighty Ducks. And I was actually surprised that I watched the entire thing and I didn't want to kill myself at the end of it.
Okay, so here's where I think you're going to get a lot of fans back. Because, I mean, Mighty Ducks means a lot of people because we're kids and it has more nostalgic-like mm-hmm. than actual movie quality. So A League of Their Own, in my opinion, is one of my just favorite movies in general. I thought Gina Davis was awesome. Tom Hanks was awesome. The movie, the actual historical part of the movie is real. It's based off a real story that really happened.
I actually love that. And that's what I was going to say is like Mighty Ducks didn't have a compelling story for me. It was just like, blah. Okay. Like guy gets a DUI, now has to do community service. So all of a sudden he's coaching a hockey team. And I was like, okay, whatever. Boring. I'm bored.
It was dramatic though. I mean, he played against his former coach who kind of ruined him when he was a kid by putting so much pressure on him right after his dad died. Look at this drama.
But it was cheesy. It was just like, like, you know, maybe if I was like a 10-year-old boy, I would have really liked this and I would be super pumped up for it. But I love A League of Their Own because just like you said, it had historical context to it.
Just good actors too.
Great actors. And it actually took me a second to realize for some reason, I know Madonna has dark hair, but it took me like a second to realize because in the very beginning I was looking for a blonde and she's brunette in the movie.
I think she looks good as a brunette too. She should have kept that look.
Yeah, she was like a lot more natural back then versus like I feel like what a lot of people think of when they think of Madonna, like super done up and like very pop starry.
Yeah.
I think this was definitely before that. This was like more toned down Madonna.
That movie was just brilliant. I could watch it over and over again on repeat and I would be fine with it. I love that movie. And then, let's see here. I'm trying to go over some other 90s iconic movies, especially sports. I don't know if you've ever seen Rudy.
I haven't, no.
Do you know what it's about even? Like, have you heard about this movie? This is probably even more iconic than both the movies we just mentioned.
No. I was still on A League of Their Own. You're just jumping on ahead to more sports.
So Rudy is Sean Astin. You know Sean Astin.
What movie is this he in?
Like Lord of the Rings and...
Stuff I don't care for. Once again, this goes back to exactly what I said. All the pop culture shit that people care about. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. Okay, we just lost everyone, I know. Sorry, guys. You can pick Josh as your favorite host because it's not me.
No, Mary, this is a legit. It's a football movie, but this is one of like the most inspiring movies ever made. Like people say this movie like changed their life.
Why did it change their life?
So in the movie, it's another true story. So maybe this is why I think you like it. It's another true story. It's about a guy who is he's like 5'6", and his name is Rudy Rudiger. Mm-hmm. In real life, it was his dream to play football for Notre Dame, which, you know, Notre Dame football, since you don't know sports, Notre Dame football program is like one of the most iconic football programs. Like, if you're like one of the top athletes, you want to play for like a Notre Dame type of school. So it was his dream to play for Notre Dame. But obviously in football, you have to be huge and big and everything. But so everyone gave him crap. They're like, you'll never play for them. Like, stop it. But when he played in high school, everyone, all the coaches loved him and all the teammates loved him because he would just play his ass off. And he worked so hard to try to do as much as he can with as little as he was. So what happens in real life is he ends up playing or ends up going to a school nearby Notre Dame. So his grades are bad. Everything didn't. It's also a private school, so you have to have good grades. You know, to be in the football team, you have to be a major athlete. So his grades weren't good enough. He wasn't the right athlete. Like, all the odds were against him. Mm-hmm. And then what happened is he went to school at Holy Cross, which is another college that's right near Notre Dame, another Christian private school. And then he got his grades up to get accepted in Notre Dame. So now, if you don't, just so you know how college sports works, I could go to UNLV and try out for the team. It's called a walk-on. So if I walk...
So anyone can try out.
Like, yeah, there's a certain number of slots where a certain number are scholarships. So these are people that the coaches go after and try to get and recruit, and they get free school, but they're playing for the school. And then there's walk-ons where they're still paying for school, but they're on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So in football, what happened with Rudy, he ended up got his grades up to get good enough to go to Notre Dame, and then he tried out for the team. And so in football, there's two teams. There's a team that plays the games itself, and then there's a practice squad. So the team that's the actual team plays against the practice squad to practice every week, you know, like a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
So he made the practice squad, and the thing is, the people on the practice squad want to be on the team, so they bust their ass in practice to impress the coaches to put them on the team. Either if there's an injury or if one guy's not playing well, they end up swapping them, you know, stuff like that.
So guys who sit on the bench, kind of?
The bench is before practice squad even. Like, they're backups. Yeah. Like, these are backups. Like, the practice squad doesn't even dress up. They're not even on the field.
They don't even get a bench is what you're saying. They don't get to warm a bench.
Nope.
They're underground. They, like, rise from the ground.
Yeah, like zombies again. You could do my zombie impersonation if you want. So what happened is, like, this is why I think you'd like it. It's just a good, inspiring story. Like, he worked his ass off. He ends up making the team, but then it's the last game of the season, and there's a new coach, and they don't want to play him. This happened in real life. I want you to keep in mind this happened in real life.
So this is a true story,
This is a true story. So he's like a public speaker now. Like, he goes and motivates people in real life, the character Sean Astin played. Mm-hmm. And so what happened in real life is that he got put in on the last play of the game against a top 25 team. And he sacked the quarterback, and like the whole stadium went nuts. And to this day, I think he's the last person to get carried off the field in Notre Dame football history. So like, it's just such a, like, this guy should not have been on the field. And the only time he gets on the field, he sacks the quarterback. And it's just like, it's amazing. And like, it's just such an inspiring movie. So you might like it because it's real. But I mean, this might be, you might get more crap for this than Mighty Ducks. I'm sorry. I just totally threw you under the bus.
Why would I? Oh, because I haven't watched the movie.
You might get more crap for this one.
But is it a Disney movie? No, right?
No, this is, This is not a Disney movie. I don't know who made it.
I feel like I only got that because I didn't watch another Disney movie that I'm apparently supposed to have watched.
Oh, so it's a lot of kids from Mighty Ducks are in this movie called Heavyweights. Which, this is Ben Stiller's best performance of any movie he's ever been in. And you have no idea what I'm talking about, huh?
No. I've watched two movies that I normally wouldn't have for this episode. So I've invested a couple hours.
Yeah, you did. I give you props for that, for getting through my ducks, even though you hated it. So
I'm a good sport, okay?
You are. You're taking one for the team. Maybe a sports-related producer will end up taking our podcast because they appreciate all the effort you put into this. I don't know who would do it.
So probably nobody, because to give you an idea into my background, like PE was my least favorite, and not because I didn't want to be active. Like I like being active, but I like doing things alone, like being active alone. So I sucked at like sports, and everyone always knew that I sucked at sports. So, you know, when they would pick you like for the teams and stuff, like whether you're playing dodgeball or whatever, I was usually always the last one picked. But another upside to that is sometimes people picked me on their team because I was funny and they just wanted me to make jokes when we were out on the field to keep them entertained. So that's a true story. I was just the comedian in the middle of the field, not knowing what the fuck to do with a ball or how to handle myself in a sports situation.
I have an idea.
Yeah. What is your idea?
Next time I'm in California, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to play some beach volleyball with some random people.
So I just played tennis. I love tennis. And I haven't played tennis.
It's a super athletic sport.
I love it. It's fun. And I like it. You know why I like it? Because it's like one-on-one. Maybe I'm fucking weird, but you know what I hate about sports? There's too many damn fucking people. Like it's overwhelming.
There's two types.
It's like, there's a person over there, behind you, underneath you, inside of your crotch. They're coming out of your ears. Whoa. Like there's so many people in sports, and this is why I can't handle it. So like, every time, even when I've dated somebody and they try to explain football to me or whatever, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm kind of getting the hang of it. But then the next time I watch it, I'm like, what? Wait, what does this line mean? What is this? It's so complex. It's like science. There's numbers. There's like so many players you got to keep track of. Like that's number 40 something. That's number 9. This is 69. Like it's too many like things going on. Like I feel like low-key, you have to have ADD to have a true appreciation for sports. Do you think I'm wrong?
Sports are my life. So I mean, you know what I do for a living. I was even told today that I have the best job in Las Vegas, and I want to work in sports more than anything still to this day. And I have a great job, and I just want to work in sports still. That's how much it means to me. And
I know.
I can't play it anymore. I'm too old to play it. But, I mean, I played baseball up until college. I wish I had played golf. If you could bring me back to 8 years old, I would have started playing golf. I don't know. I think the reason why it's just so underlying is it was, like, the only real constant in my life. So I could always watch sports. You know, I could always watch my teams play, and I actually had pretty lucky teams in my life. You know, I'm a Lakers fan. They won the championship a few times in my lifetime. I'm a Golden Knights fan. They nearly won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. I was a Ducks fan. They won the Stanley Cup in my lifetime. I'm an Angels fan. They won the World Series. So, like, it's like maybe it's a little more deeper for me because my teams have actually won. But you didn't really have a team because you grew up in Las Vegas, and we didn't have teams. So, but I'm sure you like the Golden Knights at least because they're here.
Well, I mean, in Bulgaria, they have soccer, you know, like that's the big thing there. Mm-hmm. But like, even then, like my mom loves watching soccer. Once again, if there's a ball and you have to follow it around a giant ass field with your eyes, and then you have to keep track of everyone, like it's hard enough for me to memorize people's names, right? And this is something that I've gotten much better over the years, especially when I'm networking. Like, okay, like when you shake this person's hand, remember their name. But now if you have a number attached to them as well, like you're this football player and you have a number attached to you, that's like an extra thing I have to memorize. You know, not only do I have to remember your fucking name, but I have to remember your number. And then I have to remember what team you play on and where the fuck your team's from. See, it's like, it's so personal. Like sports are like, wow, like that's too much information off the bat for me. And then I have to keep track of the scores that you make for the team. Like how do people enjoy that? You know, it's like math and science and strategy and memorization. And most of the time when people watch sports, they're drunk. So I'm like, do you even know what you're doing? Or what you're watching. Listen,
so my hero growing up is a guy named Ken Griffey Jr. A lot of people say he's one of the best baseball players ever. I know that he was number 24 because that's my favorite number now.
And I was born on the 24th.
And I know that because you were born on the 24th too. So that's how I remember your birthday. That's how I remember your birthday.
An even better way to remember my birthday is Kobe Bryant.
See?
He was 8/24, and I'm born on August 24th.
Which is Kobe Bryant Day in California now. I'm pretty sure they made it a day.
They did make it a day. And so basically, I just want to tell anyone that's listening, I am Kobe, okay? In female form.
Do you want me to put on my Kobe Bryant jersey?
I think you should.
Okay, I'll be right back. You could do ASMR to the...
Do I do ASMR? Okay. So Josh is putting on his Kobe Bryant jersey for this episode so that if you watch the video of this, you can see his 8/24 Kobe Bryant jersey. So I'm going to whisper and talk to myself until Josh comes back. So what do you guys want to talk about? Sports. Oh, there he is. Lakers, 24. He's back. Does the back say 8? Wait, no, it just says 24. Hold on, Josh. He first started out as an 8, right?
Yeah, his first half of his career, he was number 8, then he changed it to 24.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And you see that? So,
is that a ball?
That's the trophy when you win the basketball championship. So this is the year I went to the NBA Finals in LA when they played the Magic in 2009.
Oh.
I was at Kobe Bryant's big, he scored 40 points that night too. It was awesome. So I'll never forget this jersey. So I got really emotional when he died and I had this jersey. I just looked at it for a few minutes because I just felt bad. And so see, that's what sports is though, is that Kobe Bryant, like, you saw the effect he had on the world when he died. I mean, it was everywhere on the news. And then you end up finding everyone from every sport, like, knew him. And he had this thing called Mamba mentality, which I don't know if you've ever heard that term before.
I have. It was everywhere.
Yeah, but do you know what it means? Like, do you know why they called it that?
Explain it to me as a dumb sports
person. So Mamba mentality, they call them, his nickname was the Black Mamba. So that was his nickname. And Mamba mentality. So Kobe Bryant was known for like a ruthless work ethic where if practice was at 6 a.m., he would be there at 3 a.m. Like this is documented. Like people tried to get there before him. Mm-hmm. And when he found out people started coming earlier, he would come earlier. There was times that he got to the court at 1 a.m. even though practice was 6 a.m. And it's just what he did. And he just had such a crazy work ethic that they ended up calling it Mamba mentality. So when other people from different sports started asking him questions and how to become like a top athlete, he would give them this advice. And at the time before he died, you know, because he was young, no one really imagined he would just die all of a sudden. You saw the scope of what he did, giving people advice and helping guide other people do well in sports. So I think that's why sports is just such a big thing, is that One, you look up to some of these people. Two is that if you played it, you realize the sacrifice you have to make. Like even when I played baseball, I played a game with a broken arm one time. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't want to leave the game. And it actually messed up my arm even more because I just didn't want to leave the game. Not a broken arm, but I had a fracture here and a fracture here. And it was just throbbing pain. But I still kept playing. And Kobe Bryant was known for doing that, but on a professional level. Like we're just talking me in high school playing. So it just, I don't know, it just means so much to me. Like, I have a whole, I mean, you see my closet, right? I have a whole section of just jerseys. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, it's just so important.
I get it. I 100% get it. I have so much, and I've said this before. I said it in the first episode, and I'll say it again. I have so much respect for people that play sports because it's something that I can't do. And I do realize it involves a certain type of talent that I clearly do not have. And I understand all the work and everything and the effort that goes behind it. My biggest thing is I just don't understand sitting for hours in the same place, particularly like a couch with pizza and beer and watching sports like 24/7. This is where I'm like, I can't get into sports because I've been to games and games are fun. Like, it's fun. You get to yell, you scream, you like slap a stranger's hand. You can't do it anymore because of COVID and there's fake printouts of people now and there's no longer human interaction. Back in the day, it was fun and it was exciting. I did like going to games. Like, most of the time, yeah, I probably really wasn't paying a lot of attention because I was busy screaming and drinking and not knowing what I was screaming about. But I like that aspect of sports a lot better, the live and in-person experience, because as you know, we're both working events. So for me, everything's about the experience. And I'm not going to get that same experience sitting on the couch by myself, like screaming at my TV.
So you know, we were supposed to record this episode last night. Do you know why I couldn't do it last night? My reason?
Why?
The Golden Knights game was on and I went to Twin Peaks to watch it with my friend.
That's cute.
And it's cute.
No, I mean that. I mean, like, at least, like, you got out of the house. Like, you made it a thing. You watched it with your friend. I'm talking about specifically just sitting home alone and just watching games for hours.
I mean, it depends. So here's the thing. It depends what team it is. I can't watch, like, I could watch a Lakers game, but I don't care to watch a Bucks game. And that's, like, well, they just got knocked out, actually. But they were, like,
the
best.
Bucks? Where
Milwaukee.
Are they okay.
Yeah, they have like one of the best players in the league, so that's why they were a team. But yeah, so Lakers are like the best team now left. And that game was on last night too, so it was kind of like a double whammy. I go to the sports bar, I could watch Golden Knights right there, watch Lakers right there, and I'm constantly entertained. And I sat across my friend the whole time, and we could not talk for like 30 minutes at a time, yet we're both enjoying the same theme. So it's just, you notice I lowered the camera, by the way, to
show your Lakers.
Yeah, my pride. So This is the first team I ever started following in my life. I'm going to show you this. There's a picture of me wearing Lakers pants when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can find this. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why. It's just such a great thing. Maybe, and then when you get older, you start betting. So maybe that's part of it too. So it becomes more financial.
Yeah, if you're making money, I can see what makes it exciting.
Well, I mean, some people make a living off that, which is bizarre to me. I have a friend who puts like $10,000 on a game just to win $8,000. And if he loses, he'll double up and bet twice as much on another game, like $20,000 to get his money back. Like, it's just total bizarre. Like, man, I got to find that. You'll laugh. Actually, our viewers are going to see little tiny Josh.
Are you looking for little tiny Josh right now?
Well, no, you made me sound like a pedophile. So
everyone hold, please, while Josh finds little tiny Josh.
Where's little tiny Josh? I don't see him. Picture can't be this old. Well, there's a picture of me yelling, but it's not the one I'm looking for. You'll laugh at what I'm wearing in this. This is pathetic. I'm wearing Lakers pants, for crying out loud.
They make pants?
Yeah, it's like joggers.
Oh.
Okay, where is this dumb picture? This is making me mad now. Oh boy, I'm killing the podcast right now with dead content, with dead air.
Like, for the people that are not watching this, Josh is exercising his thumb right now, looking for himself as a little child. I'm just going to narrate.
You should ASMR that. That's our backup plan always when we don't know what to say.
Okay. Here we go. I'll say the same thing, but just in whisper form. Josh is currently aggressively using his thumb to scroll through his iPhone and look for himself as a little tiny boy.
I can't find this.
Okay. Well, what if you search? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, sometimes helps. If I search photos.
Here's me playing basketball in college with a Hummer in the background because I'm such a baller.
Oh, your face is like completely.
What? Look at that beard.
Oh, wow. Is this little Josh?
I was probably 19 or 20 in that picture.
Wow, you look different.
Because I have hair.
Yeah, you look different.
Look at the Hummer in the background.
Such a baller. Such a baller. I'm
you should set that as your profile picture.
Yeah, me 13 years ago. Maybe I'll just go on Tinder with 13 year younger me. Just
why not? It's you. It's not like you're lying.
I look Persian. Everyone used to say I used to look like the Kardashian brother. The brother of
Rob? What,
right, yeah. Everyone said I looked like Rob Kardashian back then. Because he used to be skinny.
Yeah, you kind of do, actually. At least, like, from my perspective over here.
This is making me angry.
In the digital world.
Because I'm also playing mini golf in this picture. I feel like everyone would appreciate seeing this. Oh, this makes me sad. I can't find the stupid picture.
Can you demonstrate? Well, since, you know, some people are just listening to this, like, can you just explain what it is?
I'm playing mini golf at a putt-putt place in Anaheim. It used to be called The Castle. And it was, like, my favorite place to go to when I was a kid. I always had my birthdays there. I'd always say, like, take me to the castle, take me to the castle. And this is a picture of me putting. And I'm wearing Lakers pants. I don't even know why. But I was trying to prove that this is the first team I ever loved. And I can't, because Lakers are, like, a trendy team, you know? Like, everyone just, like, follows them because they're successful. I don't want people to think I was just, like, a bandwagoner.
How old are the Lakers? Like, how
oh,
long
God.
Have they been?
40s, 50s? Well, I mean, they came from Minneapolis, but that's the name. Because there's no lakes in Los Angeles, right? But there's a bunch of lakes in Minneapolis. They came from Minneapolis. It used to be the Minneapolis Lakers.
Oh, is that why it's called the Lakers? Oh, like it's literally after lakes?
Yeah, it used to be the Minneapolis Lakers, and they moved to L.A. and they didn't change their name. Yet there's no lakes in L.A. So it's kind of funny.
I never even realized it was tied to lakes. Like, that's such a fucking weird thing to tie your sports team to.
Yeah.
Like, why is nobody the mountains?
Well, Minneapolis is known as, like, Minnesota isn't, like, the state of a thousand lakes or something? Is that what it's called?
No, but I'm saying, like, why is nobody, like, the mountains? Like, it's a weird fucking name to name your team the Lakers. Oh. I mean, it rolls off the tongue, but I didn't realize it had to do with, like,
it's a Lakers shirt. It's a Lakers shirt.
Is that you?
Yeah, it's maybe I'm 6.
Wow. I like those pants.
Oh, my God. I think those are Jordan shoes, too.
Look at those shoes, too. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, fuck, you look so, like, suave back then. Like, you must have picked up, like, how old were you?
I think I was 6.
Did you have a bunch of girlfriends when you were 6?
No, you have no idea how shy I was. I
look like you have so much game there.
I was so shy. Like, you have no idea. I am the complete opposite. If you had told 6-year-old Josh you're going to have a podcast, well, one, he would know what that means. But if you had told 6-year-old Josh you're going to have a podcast, he'd be like, no. And you'd hide like this.
That's how I was, too. I used to get, like, beet red. Like, when teachers would call on me or anything like that, and, like, if I had to talk in class or anything, I was just, like, terrified. But I also think it was because, like, I had just started learning English, so I didn't want to talk. I thought I sounded like an alien. And, like, I knew I was smart, and clearly my teachers did, too. But, like, I absolutely hated school.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, all about, like, let me get my grades and get the fuck out of here. I don't want to socialize with anyone. Bye.
I had, like, a speech impediment, which I still do. I'm sure people listening could kind of tell. It sometimes comes out. But I think that was part of it. And then I was just shy. I was just a shy person. And then I came out of my shell, like, in high school. And then I started dressing better. And then that's when people started calling me GQ out of nowhere. And I didn't understand it. And then, I mean, we could go a little personal here. I didn't even kiss a girl until I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's did you go out? Like, so let me ask you this, because a lot of people, like, for me personally, I didn't even go to, like, any parties. Like, you know, like, during high school, like, people would rage and, like, do all this crazy shit. I had a boyfriend when I was, like, 17. So, like, yeah, at this point, I've had my first kiss and all that, but I did not drink. And my mom was always, like, encouraging it. Like, she's like,
so were my parents.
You're, aw, little baby Josh.
So,
Yeah, but my mom was always like, Mary, if you're going to drink, like, make sure you do it at home first so you don't embarrass yourself when you go out in public. But I was like, I had no interest in drinking. I had no interest in doing drugs.
Same.
I started drinking after I graduated high school.
I still to this day don't care to drink, but I'll do it just because it's normal now. I'll drink beer when I watch sports, and then I'll drink Jameson and ginger ale whenever I'm doing everything else.
So, well, I'm drinking red wine right now, as usual. Yeah, you're so
fancy. Well, I'm drinking water right now because I'm on that Peloton kick right now. That's a sponsor I want. We haven't talked about sponsors in a long time.
Peloton. Oh, yeah, we haven't.
There's a new Peloton bike coming out. It came out today, and I want it really bad, and I don't even need it.
A new one? What's so special about that one than the one that you have?
Am I gonna pedal it, which is a great pun, by the way, I like to add.
Are you going to pedal the Peloton?
I'm going to pedal the product right now.
But we're not getting paid for this, so don't pedal it too hard.
This went from a sports podcast to a cycling podcast, which is a sport. So there you go. Which double whammy.
So there you go. It comes full circle.
So the new Peloton. Oh my God. You have to tag Peloton in this. They have to hear this because I'm about to pitch this thing so well. So right now there's a Peloton here, right beside me in my room. And you've been on it. You've actually rode my Peloton. You liked it. You thought it was cool. You remember we chose that Japan scenery?
It was fun. The only thing that's not fun is actually strapping yourself in. Like, if I didn't have your assistance, I would break a fucking rib trying to, strap myself in, little foot gear that it comes with.
Yeah, it's clipping in, they call it. Yeah, you don't like clipping in.
Wow. There's terms. Sorry.
I like to clip in, okay? So... So here's the thing with the new Peloton. It's called the Bike Plus, and it's a few hundred dollars more. So one, it has a bigger screen, which people like. Two, the screen rotates now. So you've been to my house, you've run on my Peloton, the screen is set. Now it can rotate either way. But reason why that's good is because Peloton has an app with workouts from different types of workouts, like body strength, boot camp, and everything. So now you can tilt your screen over and work out from a different part of the room. You don't have to worry about the bike screen anymore or using your computer or using your app, you could use the bike screen now, and it's a bigger screen.
God, this sounds so good for not being sponsored. Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, and then
save that fucking energy for when we get rich.
Oh my God, I love it. Mm-hmm. And then there's, remember that resistance knob when you were on it? I would change the resistance so it feels like you're just pedaling down the street, then it feels like you're pedaling in mud. It gets harder.
Oh, it gets real hard.
Yeah, so...
Peloton.
So, Peloton, it gets hard.
It gets hard.
And so now it does it automatically with what the instructor's telling you on the screen. It automatically adjusts so you don't have to turn the knob yourself, which is just pretty cool. Oh,
that's nice.
That's actually just pretty cool,
honestly. No more knobbing.
I don't have to knob anymore. No more knobbing. Yeah. So, and it has a cool little, the graphic right now is the regular Peloton logo. The new one has a chrome logo, which I know means nothing, but I just think it looks nice.
Wow. So, I'm sold. How much?
I think it's like $2,500. I think it's $2,600 actually.
Oh, not $5. I can't do it yet. Maybe if we get more listener, we have a Peloton giveaway.
Oh, I mean that's a bit expensive. I think Peloton should give it away after I just pedal it. If they get one sell, so I'll how about this? I'll give away my Peloton, the used one. let's just.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
In all its glory. Wow, you have towels on there. It looks like you've been using it, Josh.
Yeah, well, that's actually my shorts are on it because after we're done with this, I'm going to do a 45-minute ride.
After this podcast, you're going to unwind.
45-minute ride. It's a hard one, too. So,
wow. Josh is going for a ride tonight, everyone. I'm not going for a ride.
But. Everyone that watches us now, not just listens to us, could clearly tell I'm just a physical specimen. So obviously it's from the Peloton. So there
would
you go.
Would you like to do a flex, Josh?
No, I don't want to break the internet, as they say.
Oh, yeah, so, you're right.
So,
would shatter screens.
So yeah. But, there you go.
Sports, everybody. Are you enjoying the sports episode? We've covered hockey, basketball,
football, baseball, bike
riding, a little bit of tennis,
cycling, tennis.
What other sports?
Golf, because you saw me putting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and I used to work for. Can we talk about golf, Josh? I don't know how much you know about golf, but.
I mean, should I mention who I used to work for?
I mean, if you feel comfortable, I don't want to pressure you.
Well, I used to work for a company called Topgolf. So I loved golf before Topgolf, but then when you work at Topgolf, you could play golf whenever you want. So that kind of increased my whole love of the sport. So
I was surprised because I was just in Virginia. I saw a Topgolf.
That's the first one.
But it looks so
different. That's the first one.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. That's.
Are you serious? I saw the OG.
What's it called? Is it Virginia Beach or something?
Yeah, it's a little bit further from Virginia Beach, but like it's somewhere around that area.
That's
yeah.
The first one in America. Topgolf started in the UK. There were three in the UK, then it came to America. So you saw the very first Topgolf in America.
So it's on a highway, which is crazy to me. And at first I was like, what the fuck is that? Because it kind of looked like a prison with people like hanging out by the windows.
It used to be a golf range and then they just changed it to a Topgolf. It's not like the ones here in Vegas.
From the freeway, it did not look appealing during the day, is all I can say.
So there you go. You've been to the very first.
And so it took me a second, but I did see the OG Topgolf. Apparently, they have a lot better deals than the ones in Vegas.
Yeah, so when I worked there.
People were talking about going there.
Yeah, so what I was there is I sold events there. So I was a sales manager. And the one complaint I would always get is people from other Topgolf cities, and I would give them the pricing, and they're like, that's nothing like the pricing in the middle of nowhere. I was like, this is Las Vegas. Like, I'm sorry we don't match Podunk, Texas.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What does Las Vegas do differently? I mean, I can only imagine, but why is it significantly cheaper in other places? Is it just the location alone? Or
you mean Topgolf or in general?
No, I mean like in Las Vegas, Topgolf. Like what makes it different from like Virginia Beach?
It's the only four-story Topgolf. It's the only Topgolf with pools and there's two of them. And you have a view of the Las Vegas Strip. It's pretty impressive from Topgolf standards. It's amazing.
No, it's stunning. I've been to the one in Las Vegas. It's absolutely beautiful, which is why when I drove past the one in Virginia, it took me a second to register what the fuck I was looking at.
Yeah, so if you've been to like the one, if you go to like the one in like Denver, it's in Centennial. It's called Centennial, Colorado. It's much nicer. It's like that's the new generation Topgolf. So now they're making like a newer version. There's one being built in Dubai and it has a view of like the Dubai skyline. It's pretty cool.
Ooh. That would be nice.
Yeah. And then
I'm going to start golfing.
Yeah. So I can't. Yeah. So there's going to be one coming to Dubai and then you'll literally have view of the whole skyline Dubai. So that's probably going to be cooler than Vegas in terms of just view wise.
I still don't get it. Like, I've tried playing a couple of times, but it's so overwhelming. Like, how do you get the balls in? This is like a fucking serious question. I know I sound like a fucking.
First of all, not the first time a girl asked me how to get the balls in. Second of all, you mean like just playing regular golf? Because it's not easy.
So
it's the hardest sport.
Like Topgolf for people. Okay, should we explain what Topgolf is for people that don't know?
I think it's pretty
mainstream
now. If I had to explain it the easiest way possible, it's a golf driving range and a nightclub mixed together.
And it's elevated. You're like shooting balls from like multiple levels. So it's not like your ball is like on a hill, like gliding through and getting it in. It's like your ball is in the fucking air and you're like on the third floor trying to get your ball inside of a hole that's sitting on the ground.
Yeah, it's targets. They look like, so basically it's a field that you hit golf balls into on these targets that look like dartboards. And then every golf ball is microchipped. So when you hit the golf ball into a target, it registers. And then that's Topgolf.
But
so
that's wild, Josh.
It's a genius
like
idea.
Even if you're good at golf, like I would imagine.
Oh my god, I got so good.
No, but don't you think that's a different skill set? Is what I'm going to ask you. This is why sports are fucking crazy to me, because I feel like Tiger Woods, like he's okay, like probably just used to hitting his balls in like on a normal golf course. But do you think Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods on Topgolf steroids?
Yes. So here's a good example. I don't want to say her name. She's a famous female golfer. So all I'm going to say is she's a very good-looking, blonde, famous female golfer. So because there's a sponsorship theme with Topgolf and her. I don't want to mention it. That's why. So Anyways, mm-hmm. when she came there, I was on the fourth floor with her. And so you know golfers have a caddy, right, when they're on the course? Do you know what the purpose of a caddy is?
Well, isn't that, like, where you can hire some of the atmosphere models, too? Like, are you talking about those?
No. So,
the ones that, like, go position your stuff on the golf course? I love sports. I sound so dumb.
No, what you just mentioned is only happens in Vegas. So, like, people won't understand unless they play golf.
Oh, this doesn't happen in other places?
So, in professional golf, Tiger Woods has a caddy. So let's say I was Tiger Woods' caddy, right?
Okay.
He comes to me for advice on how to play.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he knows how to hit the ball and everything, but golf is so hard. Like, Mary, I need to take you on a golf course one time, because the thing with golf is that to get the ball in the hole is not easy, because there's sand traps. There's the green is like wavy and has mm-hmm. slants and everything. So here's the thing, is that the caddy knows where those slants are. The caddy knows the golfer's strengths. So, like, if he knows Tiger Woods doesn't do well hitting the ball left to right, he's going to tell Tiger Woods to hit the ball on the green on an area that makes it easier for him to putt and get the ball in the hole. Like, he knows these little details about the golfer.
Oh, so they're basically helping the actual golfers cheat.
And he'll also tell the golfer what club to use.
Strategy.
Yeah, like, he'll even tell the golfer what club to use and everything. So,
okay.
So just to tell you how precise they are, this female golfer, like, the target at Topgolf, she was just practicing. She was on the top floor at Topgolf, hitting balls into the green target, which is, like, in the middle of the field at Topgolf. She asked me how far the target is, and I said it's 95 yards. She grabs a club, hits the ball. It goes in the green target, but on the back part of it. And she's like, that plays more like 90. That's mm-hmm. how precise she was. Okay?
So that's insane. You, like, just blew my mind right now in the sports world. I know, like, probably everyone else knows this. But you know, when I think of a caddy, I think of, like, the atmosphere models in Vegas. You know, I think of the girls in the, like, really, really short, like, skirts or whatever, and they have plastic surgery, and I don't really know what it is that they do.
So you see that number on my golf club here?
Yeah.
Number 7, right?
Uh-huh.
So just so you know, there's, like, 14 golf clubs in my bag, and they all have different angles.
I like how it glows. Is it glowing?
Well, it's you're seeing my reflection. You see, that's
okay.
So here's the thing.
That's beautiful.
Is I grab this club, Mary. This is this is going to blow your mind. I grab this club, and I know I'm going to hit the ball 170 yards with this club.
Mm-hmm.
That's golf. It's like, I know I grab this club and I'm 170 yards away from the hole. I'm going to grab this club. And that's how precise. But the thing is, I'm most likely going to hit it maybe like 175 or 165 because I'm not a pro golfer. Tiger Woods, which, if you could see it on here, this is just how crazy golf is. You see all the marks from me using it?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had this club for like 3 years now, right? Tiger Woods used the same club for 2 years and only had one mark on it. That's how good Tiger Woods is.
So is that because he's accurate?
He hits the ball every single time at that club. It's going to go the same spot, the same area, the same loft and everything. And his caddy knows that. That's why his caddy will just pull the club out of the bag and hand it to him. Tiger Woods doesn't even know what club he handed to him most of the time.
Huh.
And that's golf.
So that's wild. So Josh, explain to me, because obviously I've had a warped perception of what a golf caddy is. Having lived in Las Vegas for so long and just going back to what I think it is. So there's atmosphere, for the people that don't know, in Las Vegas, there's these things called the atmosphere models, and they basically make rich people look good, whether they're dining, they're in a club or playing golf or whatever it is that they're doing. These girls are basically getting paid per hour plus tips to be around these men doing their activities.
Caddy
so
mates.
What is a golf caddy in Las Vegas? Like, caddy what do mates. Those girls do?
They're caddy mates, they're called.
Okay.
So here's the thing is, one of my friends owns a modeling company. And what she does, so I guess you stated before, we could just state it. We both work at events. That's how we met. So when I throw an event, some of them will be related to like a convention, like a construction convention. So, you know, the event I'm going to throw for this company will be mainly men. So I had an event where they asked women to be like the servers, like certain types of women to be like the waitresses and whatnot of the event. And so she hired these models to be atmosphere, like you said. So these girls are running around flirting with the guys, you know, making them spend more money or making them feel like they like them. So they're like clients for the company. This is very common practice in Las Vegas that most people don't know about is atmosphere models. I think you did it a few times just to do it, right?
I've done it just to see what it was like and never done it for sports though. Never done it for golf.
So I don't know
if this blows my mind like what people pay for.
So there you go.
Yes. This is exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I always thought a golf caddy was, Josh.
Oh my God, this is so funny. So basically a caddy is the guy that always helps the pro golfer. That's what it is. Yeah. So what Vegas geniusly thought of is Vegas just changes everything, which, by the way, caddy mates, you better hit us up, man. I just advertise for you guys. I want a free caddy mate next time I go on the course. Anyways, what they thought of in Vegas is take the atmosphere model and put her on the golf course. And it's kind of genius because so many guys come up for bachelor parties, and what they do is during the day they play golf, and at night they go to the nightclubs or the strip clubs, right? So now this girl usually wears like a really short skirt, gets your clubs and everything. And like, you know, they'll even do the thing, you know, when you hit the ball in the sand, you hit it out. So what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to rake it. There's a rake there that you clean the sand and make it flat again. It's just a courtesy that you do for the next player.
What sand are you talking about? So like backtrack for me because I'm an idiot.
And golf, on the golf course, you see the sand traps? You never seen that?
I just see green grass and holes. There's sand?
They're called sand traps because when you hit the ball in the sand, it's hard to get out of.
Is it their actual sand, Josh?
No, it's a joke. I hate it.
Oh, okay. Because I'm stupid, remember? Josh is showing me.
So you see, there's the hole right there, the flag. There's a water hazard. So if you hit the ball in the water, you have to drop it somewhere else because it's a penalty because you can't get your ball back.
Okay.
And then if you hit in the sand here, it's hard to get out of. But the thing is, when you try to hit the ball out of the sand.
Oh, is that the sand thing you're talking about next to the lake?
Yeah. So there's a little rake there that you can't see. That the thing is, someone's playing after me. So I'm going to rake it for them. I'm not going to leave it all trashed. So these caddy mate girls will do that for you.
So they basically rake is their job.
Well, they're there to flirt with you. They're there to get you to spend more money at the golf course. And then they're there to just make it more fun and make old guys think that they're actually got game and have a chance with these girls. It's basically strippers without stripping on the golf course.
So it's not really about them being serious about the sport. The guys that you see surrounded by a bunch of women on a golf course, those are not the real OG sports people.
No. So if you watch a professional golfing event, you'll always see a caddy with the golfer. He's usually carrying his bag too, but he's there to give advice. And the thing is, they get a percentage of what the golfer wins. So like, if it's usually like 10%, I think. So when Tiger Woods wins a tournament, and it's usually somewhere around $5 million, that caddy just made $500,000. I'm not joking. Just like that, four days work makes $500,000.
I remember getting something in my emails because I do get just all sorts of random emails, and there was like a training to be a golf caddy, but you had to be an attractive woman to do it, and they had like some type of training for it so that you're a little bit more well-versed. So I don't think they just take anyone. Like, they want you to at least have some type of knowledge, if not training, at least like the more legit ones do. But yeah, the money looks great, even if you're not.
Yeah. So when I had a client that went to the golf course and wanted to get caddy mates, and I mean they charge quite a bit an hour just to be with them, and then it's just bizarre to me. I could care less. I don't want I don't care to play. I want to play golf when I go to the golf course, but I'm not some old guy that probably married and they just want to look at another girl for a few hours. I don't know the premise behind it, but
yeah,
when you're at a bachelor party, I guess I could kind of understand it, but yeah, I've never done it. I've sold the product. I've helped. I've arranged it for people. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. But that's kind of why Topgolf is kind of popular too, because at Vegas they have the third and fourth floors, which are 21 and up only. And they have model bejos, which is basically just waitresses that are dressed a little more skimpy. And that's why the Topgolf here is also pretty popular, because the girls dress like in bikinis basically, and they're serving you and you're playing golf.
Well, also there's a pool for people like me who just want to hang out with a drink and watch other people do sports.
I worked there for 3.5 years. I never got in that pool once.
Does anyone go in there? I've never actually seen a lot of people there.
It picked up. It picked up last year. The last year I worked there, it it really got more popular.
Hmm. I've only seen the pool empty. That's why I ask every time I've been there.
Yeah, so that's funny. I mean, I just gave like a whole golf lesson there.
Look at that. We are so good at improv because we had no idea.
No, we this is not part of our pregame at all.
Sometimes we pregame a little bit and talk about what we're going to talk about. But I told Josh that this is your episode. And apparently we have over 70% of male listeners. So shout out to the male species.
We need to get more women watching, and so I think if you want to do an episode catered towards women, I will do it.
I don't even know what the fuck that means, because I feel like I'm a little boy, but like I just don't do sports, you know.
You might like this example, because then you could apply it towards dating. So the hardest sport of any sport to go pro in is baseball. The reason why is because you know what baseball is, the MLB, Major League Baseball, right? That's the top tier that everyone knows. Did you know that there's three leagues before the MLB that you have to go through to become a pro baseball player?
No. Wait, so, is it Little League was one of them? No.
So I don't know. You know the team here in Vegas, right? The Aviators. You know that team? The one in Summerlin? The nice stadium in Summerlin?
Yeah. I've been. That's a beautiful stadium. Also has a pool. Hold on. Can we just discuss this? Sports in Vegas, are they
awesome.
Like wrong?
So awesome.
Because no one else has pools at their fucking baseball.
Like I don't care what anyone says. I mean, I used to hate Las Vegas, and now I appreciate the city so much. The city's so freaking cool.
I love Las Vegas.
We do everything so much cooler than anyone. You could rent that out for like I forgot how much it is. It's $2,000. You could rent out that pool for $2,000.
That's it? And you can watch a whole game?
I think you could have up to 40 people, and it's $20 or $50 per ticket. So that's $2,000, right? Yeah, so
that's fucking great. And you're chilling by the pool. And yeah, by the way, where the pool is located, you could totally fucking get hit over the head with something.
Oh, yeah. It's a home run area. So
yeah. I thought that was weird, Josh. So I want your input on that, because I toured the venue, because once again, I used to work in events. Sorry. I think I work in sports now. I used to work in events. So I used to tour venues, which by the way, is how I met Josh.
Because I have the coolest venue in Las Vegas.
Huh?
I have the coolest venue in Las Vegas. That's why.
Can we say it?
No, we can't.
Okay. Josh seriously works at the coolest fucking venue, and I can't wait to go visit it because it's fucking cool. Anyways, we met at a Hard Hat tour, moral of the story. And so I took a tour of this baseball stadium, which, what is it called? Is it called Aviators?
Yeah,
stadium?
It's the Las Vegas Aviators.
But it's called like Las Vegas Ballpark.
That's what it's called, because the LVCBA, which is a city organization, runs it.
Okay. And this pool is right in the area where I feel like you would die in the pool if a ball hit you.
That's a center field. It's basically center field. So you can see right here.
Is it deadly?
I mean, I've been hit by a baseball before. It hurts. It hurts.
It looks like it would be really painful, Josh. And what if you're like drinking? What is their insurance like?
Oh, God. It's on the ticket. So this is in every sport. On your ticket, it says anything that happens as a result of the game is not our responsibility. But here's the thing, is they always take care of you. So I knew a girl who got hit at a Ducks game in Anaheim when I watched them mm-hmm. back then. A puck hit her right in the freaking nose and, like, broke her nose. A little girl. So the Ducks are legally not responsible for that. But what they did, they gave her and her family, like, free tickets. She met the whole team. I think they even took care of her hospital bills. I don't know. They legally, you can't sue them, but the team will always take care of you. They always have.
That's cute.
Yeah. So
go sports.
So the thing is, oh God, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how dangerous the pool is and how there's no pools in other stadiums except in Las Vegas.
Like everything we do is just cooler.
It is cooler.
So amplified. Yeah. So this is why we got to that, is that's a AAA team. So in baseball, there's single A, double A, triple A, and then the pros. So those guys you see at those games are one level away from going pro. They're pro, but going the top tier. So I don't know if you knew that. There's four levels to baseball, and it's so hard to go from one to the other, and you have to go through four.
What do you have to do? Okay, so like put this into like stupid people terms.
So
if you're trying to get a job and like move up to the next level, you have to demonstrate
performance.
A certain level of capability or performance or whatever.
So
in sports terms, how can you relate that to an average person just working an office job?
Well, it's like working your way up the ladder, the corporate ladder.
But okay, so like, what would I need to do for each level?
Well, you can't compare the two because other factors come into play. So let's say I'm an 18-year-old, and so you have the choice to go to college or you could go pro in baseball.
So you don't have to. You can skip school is what you're saying.
Oh, wait. This is why baseball is so hard, okay? You could – so if – so my team's the Angels. Let's say I'm a top player. I'm 17 years old, about to go to college or whatever I want to do. But let's say I'm amazing. The Angels can – I could go to the draft as a 17-year-old and get drafted by the Angels and work my way up to pro. And depending on how good they think I am, they'll give me a bonus. But mm-hmm. otherwise, I get paid like dirt cheap until I make the pro level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I could go to college, get a scholarship, and then I have to go through all four levels still.
Even if you have a scholarship.
You have to finish college and then play college baseball, and then you could drop out at any time. But that's how you get your name known. That's how you get experience. Most people aren't good enough
to just get drafted. Wait, so you just said you can drop out at any time.
And go to the draft.
So people, do you think, I don't know anything about athletes. Do you think most people purposely go to school just to get there and then drop out immediately after?
Well, I think the people who are really good go straight to the draft because they're most likely going to go pro and they want money. I think mm-hmm. people who want to prove themselves go to college and get a free education, and then that could lead to a better draft. And you get more money. The lower you're drafted, the better money you get.
Okay, so if you're educated and you've graduated from school, do you get paid better?
In baseball?
Just in general, a sports, I don't know.
No. So it's really just a place to prove yourself. So you'll probably get drafted higher, which means you make more money. Like if I'm the number one draft pick and you're the number two draft pick, I get a bonus. But because I'm number one, my bonus is going to be a lot higher than yours because I'm the one that everyone wanted.
But so it doesn't have to do with academics.
No.
Okay.
Basically, people pay college baseball to get a scholarship and get a free education. That's the real reason. Otherwise, if I'm super good, I'm not going to go to college. I'm just going to go straight to the draft and work my way up and become a pro player in 2 to 3 years, as opposed to going to college for 4 years and then having to work my way up in 2 to 3 years.
Oh, gotcha. So it's like college is that extra step.
It's to get a free education. That's honestly the truth of it. It's to get a free education.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, like, statistically speaking, I don't know if you can speak to.
I know this. I already know what you're going to ask.
Are most of them dropouts or are they all mainly educated?
I thought you were going to ask how many go pro.
No, I was going to ask you, are most athletes educated?
Well, first, just to give you a fun fact.
Do they graduate? Do they complete their four years.
So the fun fact I was going to answer, I thought you were going to ask, most mm-hmm. college athletes, so everyone you see on TV, it could be swimming, it could be golf, everything, right? Less than 1% go pro. So I want you to keep that in mind. So okay, that's how hard it is to go pro in any sport. Number two, to answer your question, it depends on the program and the sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing baseball, you're most likely going to graduate. If you're playing basketball, you're most likely not. Do you know why?
Why?
Because basketball players, you could see the talent, and usually they so instead of going 4 years, and if I'm a top basketball player and I play for like UCLA, everyone's going to be saying like, you need to go pro. Well, do I stay in college to get my degree, or do I go pro and get a guaranteed $20 million contract? What are you going to do? You're not going to stay in school unless you have some kind of personal reason, like your mom wants you to stay or something, or you love the school. But then think about this. This is why it goes deeper. If you're a basketball player, what if you get hurt and you didn't go pro? So the next year you stay in college, you get hurt. All of a sudden that money's gone. You can't play anymore. So in basketball, it's different because if you're good, you're going to go pro because you don't want to risk it. In baseball, it's a less likely chance of injury, and it's a better way to prove yourself to get drafted because there's so many people that play baseball and there's so many rounds of the draft, where basketball has a small draft. Mm-hmm. And then football is a big draft because there's so many players. There's 55 players on each team. But that's another thing is you stay – most quarterbacks in football, you know they're talent ready, so they don't go all 4 years because a quarterback could get hurt at any time. So if I'm a college quarterback and I'm one of the top players, I'm going to the draft and I'm going to get my payday. So I can't answer the question because it depends on the sport.
I'm going to ask you with another question that goes back full circle. So this goes back to our last guest, which was Ryan Edwards.
Ooh.
For people who haven't listened to First Class Alpha Male, episode 4, Ryan was on there, and what he said is that he's looking for a woman that's above 5 feet, 11.
He's 6 feet. He said 6 feet or higher.
Or was it? Okay, 6 feet.
I thought
okay.
It might have been 5'10", like you said, but I'm pretty sure he said six.
A really tall woman with basically the perfect genes so that he can basically create children.
So,
that
Mary, did you know what he meant when he wants to breed D1 athletes?
Like as far as like the D1 part or
what does D1 mean? Do you know?
Oh no, I just got the athletes.
It's called Division 1. So like the top colleges are in Division 1. Then you have like smaller colleges that are Division 2.
But would that be fall under your less than 1%? Like
like D1 all athletes, like literally less than 1% go pro in their sport. That's how.
Okay, so that's kind of what I wanted to relate it to. You said less than 1% become D1 athletes.
No,
basically.
No, the D1 athletes less than 1% become pro athletes.
Okay.
So I know this is why you hate sports, because remember I said baseball has single A, double A, triple A.
Yeah.
Football is basically college, and then there's Division 3, Division 2, Division 1.
So it's like complicated.
You live right by UCLA, right? UCLA is a Division 1 school because it's a major school, right?
Only because it's a major school, not because of the performers.
It's
only
good. Because it's the quality of the program, the college program. Okay. So, like, if you go to, what's a good example? I'm trying to think of a. So I went to grad school at a private college in California.
Yeah.
That was a Division 2 school, right? Because it's a small private college, but they were good. But they can't compete with UCLA because UCLA is a massive school and they could recruit.
That makes sense.
So what Ryan was talking about, he wants to have D1 athletes in Texas. So in Texas, football is huge, right? It's a big deal in Texas. So you want your kids to go to play for Houston. You want your kids to play for, oh my God, University of Texas. You know, the Longhorns, they call them. This is like their logo. They do this.
Okay, that's why he did that sign.
Yeah, it's the Longhorns, so Texas Longhorns.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What percentage does Ryan have to, A, find a woman that would produce this type of child? That would be this type of athlete. Like, what are the percentages?
So that's where the genealogy comes in. So Ryan, you haven't seen Ryan in real life, but he's in really good shape. He's a tall guy. Mm-hmm. Physically, he has good genes. So if he has a wife that, let's say she was a former basketball player, there's a good chance their kid's going to be really good at sports. It, that's true. Like, it that does matter. So in football, have you noticed there's a lot of Hawaiians that play football?
Oh, well, they're bulkier.
And they're all linemen. So there's position. They need to be big. They need to be guys that are wide that can protect the quarterback. So a lineman is a guy who protects the quarterback. So if you're the quarterback, I don't want someone to touch you. So who do you want to protect you? Do you want me to protect you?
Bulkier.
Yeah, you want some big – the rock
you want the
fold.
Cushion.
Yeah. So like you – like what? Like
the cushion for the pushing.
So
that's
so like, what you like need. This is football, right? Like who – if you want someone not to get to you, who do you want to protect you, me or the rock?
The Rock?
Yeah, The Rock used to play football, by the way, for the University of Miami, one of the top football programs in the country. That's where The Rock used to play for. He got injured, though, and couldn't go pro, so that's why he didn't play football.
Why he became an actor?
He became a wrestler, and then he got famous as an actor.
Huh.
Yeah, but he was a D1 athlete for the University of Miami. They have their own theme, by the way. They do this. The U. They call it the U. That's their logo, right? So every team has, like, their theme. So, that's an example. If The Rock has kids with like a famous woman athlete, like an Olympian or something, their kids are very likely going to be good at sports. So that's where Ryan's getting at with that.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that he's famous though? Because I feel like.
Who's famous?
The Rock.
No, I mean, he was a great college football player.
No, I know, but I'm talking about in terms of his children. Like, I feel like your children automatically have privilege because you are famous, not because of your skin color or anything like that, but the privilege comes from you having famous parents. So let me ask you this. That's another question I want to ask. Wow, I love sports because I'm learning
so
much.
Look at this. I love this.
I know. I want to ask how many people, because I don't know athletes, like a lot of really anybody. I don't know who these people are except The Rock. But how many of these people got to where they got to because of who their parents were?
Not much.
I want to know. None of them?
It's pretty rare. Like, it's like Michael Jordan. You know Michael Jordan.
Okay. Yeah.
Best basketball player ever. Some people would argue that, but his kids would not play basketball. I'm sure they would have been good, but the pressure of being Michael Jordan's sons, he has multiple kids, they couldn't do it. Now, LeBron James, who I'm sure you know, because he's now probably the best player right now, Lakers, he's on the Lakers.
Yeah.
His son is really good, and his son got into a very popular high school because of who his dad is, but his son happens to be really good. His name's Bronny James. And the thing is, like, the kid's in high school and he's dunking and crap like that. So he got the – LeBron James is probably the most athletic athlete in NBA. Like, it's insane. His son definitely got those genes, 100%. And he's probably going to go pro because, one, his dad is one of the best basketball players ever, and, two, he had a good upbringing and had certain advantages. So,
but you're saying it's also because he's talented. So I guess my question was, these kids, yes, they do have the backing of their parents, but also the reason why they get chosen is because they're actually talented. The reason why I asked this is because, okay, like, let's bring Hollywood into the mix since we were talking about sports.
I have an example for you that would actually fit your question. Snoop Dogg's son went to Bishop Gorman, which is a high school just nearby me. You know, I live right by it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a very prestigious high school. Did you know that's the number one high school football program in the country? Did you know that?
Yeah, because the Fertittas.
Well, yeah. I mean, most high schools can't recruit. It's just if you're, you know, you get zoned for a high school and you're there, they can recruit because they're a private school. Snoop Dogg's son went there and he's a wide receiver, and then he got picked up by USC, you know, your area now, USC, which is another top football program, or was. I think they haven't been doing too well lately. But his son's really good, but I don't know, I'm not a scout or anything, but I imagine his son got some help because his dad is Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like wondering how often it happens because, okay, like in Hollywood, in the movie industry, a lot of times if your dad's a producer or director or this or that, you kind of tend to like push in your family members into the mix. And it's like, all right, like son, you fucking suck at acting or directing or doing this. But because I put, you know, my seed in your mom and now you're born, like, now you have a chance to make it in Hollywood and you can be an actor, or you could be part of Hollywood. So my question, I guess, is like kind of like, does that, how often does that happen in sports versus Hollywood?
Sports is all about talent. So mm-hmm. you'll get certain edges if your dad was someone important, but ultimately, they want the best player. They don't care who your dad was. They want the best player.
I love that. Okay, guys, I officially fucking love sports because I'm all about fairness. So you heard it here on Easy to Swallow. Mary loves sports.
I did it.
Fair and equal. I like that. No, I'm serious. I have more respect for that because honestly, like, I don't know these things. I don't talk about these things, which is what's great about having a podcast is, yeah, people are listening to it, but also I'm learning things. And
well, yeah, and see, that's the thing is it's people give athletes crap for making so much money. So one, it has nothing to do with how much they're making. It has to do with how much they're generating. So
yeah,
and you know my job. I sell venues. I don't make money unless I sell a lot. It's performance-based. I'm going to work my ass off to get more business. In sports, you get paid more the better you are. But the reason why you're getting paid so much is because you're generating so much revenue for the team. Mm-hmm. So selling jerseys or ticket sales because people want to see you. Or at TV revenues where all the money comes from, TV revenue, if you didn't know that. All sports money comes from TV revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
when you say TV revenue, is that why, like, for the Super Bowl, there's, you know, like, all the commercials and stuff?
So
is that what you mean?
So let's say we want to market this podcast. I could spend $10 on Facebook marketing and maybe it'll show it to 100 people. I guarantee you right now, if we spend $2 million on a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl, there's at least 60 million people watching. So if 1% of that 60 million, which is... I'm testing your math right now.
Oh, you know I'm already asleep.
So 6 million.
I'm not even trying. When you do this stuff, I'm like, I'll just wait and
drink my water. So 61% of 60 million is 6 million, right? Wait, that's 10%. Oh my god, 600,000. There we go. 600,000 people end up watching our podcast. Does that make sense?
Oh, God, that is the day I'm going to have an orgasm live on this podcast.
Just like that movie with, what's his name? The radio host that got in trouble all the time, Howard Stern?
Oh, yeah, I will go Howard Stern on your ass.
So here's, I think we'll get there someday. We need our listeners right now to start sharing our podcast. They have been actually.
600,000, aim low, guys. 600,000, really aiming for 1 million minimum. But like, I'll take 600,000.
So basically that 2 million, part of that goes to every team or, you know, like, and they did nothing. All they're doing is doing an ad spot. I mean, it goes to the channel, but they're distributing that amongst the teams.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, certain teams have an agreement. Like Lakers have an agreement with Fox Sports, so only Fox Sports can show Laker games unless it's a nationally televised game. So Fox Sports is paying the Lakers because more people watch the Lakers than like the Bucks, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it's the Lakers. The Lakers get a ton of money from just giving Fox Sports that privilege, and then ticket sales and merchandise, ad revenue, TV rights. All that stuff is what pays athletes. So
it makes sense.
Yeah. So the whole thing with and women wanting to get paid equally in sports is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with women working as hard or trying as hard as men. It has to do with revenue. They don't generate as much revenue. It's not that it's not fair.
okay, let me ask you this. Why do you think that is? Why do you think women don't generate as much revenue?
I mean, do you want me to be politically correct or brutally honest?
No, just fucking, come on. This is hard to fucking swallow. No, we break hard to swallow topics and make them easy to swallow. But honestly, yes, I want you to be brutally honest. Like, what is your take on it? Why do women generate?
Yeah, men are more competitive and we put out a better product. So the fact is if I tried to play in the NBA right now, mm-hmm. I would get demolished. Like, I can't do anything, okay? Yeah. If I play in the WNBA, I could at least score. I know this. I that's not me talking shit about women. Actually, I know a lot of women basketball players that went to UNLV and they're great. They're actually the best shooters I've ever met. The thing is, though, they're my height, right? And the thing is, I'm a guy. We're just more athletic, so it's just a better show. I don't know how to explain it. Like, the only thing – I can't think of a women's sport where they could play on an even par with the men. There's not one.
Josh, you don't have to explain it to me. This is honestly what bothers me about our society and kind of goes back to, like, whole cancel culture and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not disparaging women at all.
I'm like, honestly, I will never look at myself next to a man and think I'm 100% equal next to that fucking man, unless I'm delusional as fuck. Because the reason being is, honestly, it comes down to little things. I mean, okay, I get perfect example of this is I love interior design, right? I know what looks good visually. I love to design things. I love to plan them out. However, am I a fucking great construction worker? Hell to the fucking no. Do you think these small ass motherfucking midget hands like are gonna like, you know, build you a new house?
But no. There's some women that's good at that.
That's why I rely on men. What?
I mean, there's some women shows on HGTV where the women are actually the contractors and the builders, and they're great.
On HGTV, I'm sure, like, after the camera stops rolling, they're like, hey, here, Jose, like, fuck this house up. No, I mean, seriously, I fucking shout out to Mexicans for being great construction workers.
Hey, they did my whole backyard, and they did it for a third of the price all those white contractors tried to price me out for, and it's better work.
They work hard, and I know construction. Sorry. I might not know how to physically drill shit in and cut wood and do all this wild stuff, but I've dealt with a lot of contractors.
Let's give a shout out to Mexicans in general, because one – they just work their asses off and they don't complain.
They're so fucking quiet about it. I'm like, why aren't you complaining? Honestly, I just redid my kitchen. No. Listen, Linda. I just redid my kitchen and you know this. So my backsplash, like I was in LA for this, but my mom was like basically live streaming the whole fucking thing. The guy came in at 8 a.m. and like left at 8 p.m. Didn't say a peep. My mom's like, I don't think this guy even went to the restroom like once. Didn't ask for water. Didn't ask for anything. Was just in his happy little world, like constructing the backsplash for like 12 hours straight. And I'm
Mary,
like,
you've seen my backyard. Do I not have a great backyard?
Beautiful. And there's like a little golfing area.
Yeah, I have a putting green and a basketball court in my backyard.
Yeah.
Guess how many days it took them to do that backyard. And I have the biggest backyard in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Five days.
God bless Mexico.
5 days. 5 days, four Mexicans. And a partner.
Wow, that sounds like a great movie. It's like Two Girls, One Cup, but like 5 days, four Mexicans.
That's my new Christmas song. Five working Mexicans and a partridge in a pear tree. So,
I think they'll like that.
So, but yeah, I mean, well, God, we went out on a tangent here. Jesus.
We did. How did we get to? Well, no, because we were talking about equality and sports and women.
Yeah.
And honestly, that was my whole point is like, we're not fucking equal. Not all of us.
Well, listen, I could go into an MMA ring against like one of the top women fighters. She'll whoop my ass. Okay. I'm saying there's certain things where it's a little different, where the skill does matter. But most sports, the thing is, I could compete with most women, and I'm not a pro athlete. That's the difference. I'm saying it's that big a difference. It is such a big a difference. I'm not even joking. You could take the worst basketball team in the NBA and take the best women's basketball team in the WNBA. That men's basketball team will obliterate them. I mean, it's not even – I'm not joking, Mary. The score would be like 190-20. I'm not even exaggerating. It's that much of a difference.
I get it because, honestly, we're built – different. Like, if you look at a woman versus a man, okay, no matter how great a woman is, if you physically look at the size of most women and you look at the way that their bodies are and how they're built, and not to mention, men don't fucking bleed every month, okay? So you never have fucking players out playing sports and it's like, oh shit, my dick's bleeding. Like, everyone stop the fucking game, you know? I mean, there's honestly obstacles being a woman.
There is.
And the thing that I don't get as a woman is everyone's like, oh my God, we gotta be equal. Ah, I'm just as good as a man. Maybe, yes, there's those outliers that are better, or if not, at same playing field as men. But the majority of women, stereotypically speaking and statistically speaking, like you said, are not on par with men, which I can understand.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing, is a woman's body is actually much more what's the word I'm looking for here? You guys could tolerate pain much more than us.
Well, yeah, we give birth to a fucking nation. Like, you know, we all came out of a woman.
Well, it's just crazy to me, isn't it?
Pain levels are better, yes.
We're just physically stronger, but funny enough, you guys could tolerate more pain than us. So
mental, physical pain, all the types of pain, yes. Women love pain. We fucking take it.
Yeah, I'm not giving birth ever. I'm so glad. Like, I never want to give birth. If God,
neither do I, Josh. I don't want to give birth.
Where I could be like, oh, I could give birth. Let's flick the switch. No.
Oh my God, Josh, I've been like waiting for that to happen. So like when I was a kid, like my friends would be like, oh, like who's going to have kids first? And all my friends were like, Mary's going to have the first child of the group. And of course, everyone else had a child and got married into the thing like way before me. But when I was a kid, I was always like, oh, 30 is my age where I have a child. Well, fuck, I just turned 30, not having a child right now. So I'm hoping maybe within the next 5 or so years, there is a switch where I can just like tap it and be like, all right, my husband's going to have this child for us.
Nope.
No?
There's not a single guy in this world that would have the baby.
Well, that's not true fucking love then, and I don't want it.
Well, there you go. Women love more than us then. There you go.
Yeah.
As you excuse me, I'm going to go watch the sports now. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, crap. Wait, you're probably going to watch sports now. Oh, shit. What the?
Was that terrifying or what?
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm gone now. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Josh. Is this it?
And I'm back.
Okay.
God, now we're just doing like, oh crap, my chair.
I think we're done. Oh my God, it's 8:50. We're done, Josh.
Hey, we almost spent a good 2 hours with you talking sports, movies, and sports.
I told you this was gonna be the sports fucking episode. I wasn't excited about it, but let's wrap it up full circle. I have a new appreciation for sports. Thank you, Josh, for educating me.
You heard that, Barstool Sports or Bleacher Report? I converted someone. Your website's...
All the other sports things out there.
ESPN, sports, are Fox you listening? Sports.
It's me, Mary.
Tag all these sports networks, Mary. Fox Sports, ESPN, CBS Sports, Bleacher Report.
All the sports.
Barstool Sports, which is actually one we really like because their president is really cool. We love that guy. God, I can't... I'm spent.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just say bye. We did a lot of sports. Like, that was too much sports for me. I love sports now, but that was a lot of sports, and I'm ready to rest. So, rest.
You want to use this as the picture for the episode?
What?
You could use this as the picture for the episode. Me holding a golf club in front of my Lakers jersey.
If you want, you can send me your personal dirty photos of you holding
sports. Give me swinging the club.
Okay. There we go.
There we go.
Josh is really swinging his equipment around.
Tag Callaway because I use Callaway clubs. There you go.
Callaway clubs. I gotta pee, so we should really wrap this up. I'm not joking.
I'm totally serious, by the way. I want you to tag those people because I want other listeners to see that it's possible to convert a woman into loving sports if you just reasonably explain every facet of it.
Yeah, you said it very reasonable. You didn't yell at me, so that's good. Maybe people can get converted on a political level, too, if you don't yell at them. Pro tips. Ooh. Pro sports tips, motherfuckers.
Should we have a political episode, like a debate?
Well, not yet, but we might have some if we get some political friends to politically speak to each other in a rational manner, the way Josh and I just did for this episode.
I like it. I'm so glad you did this for me. Thank you so much. I'm glad you actually appreciate it a little more now. And I'm going to take you to a Lakers game when we're able to go to games again. So
I actually would be really fucking excited considering I live in this city.
It's your team now. It's your team.
Go Lakers.
Woo! No, this was a great episode. Very different. I like it. It was light. You know, the whole world is so like, well, half the world's on fire right now, apparently. So
California, you mean, which is half the world because it's really big in California.
Well, it's just, you know, this year kind of sucks, even for sports. So I hope people are enjoying this kind of stuff. And what I want is someone to, I hope maybe some lady listens to this and wants to chime in. And maybe you could talk to her about sports and convince her while I sit back and watch my new Padawan do her thing. I don't know.
Okay, well, maybe one day your wet dreams will come true, Josh.
Oh, that's the only wet dream I have.
For now, I leave you with this. I gave you my all. I asked hopefully intelligent questions that Ryan will approve of.
You might be on his breeding stock list now that you know sports.
But I'm not 6 feet. I don't think I ever will be. Hopefully not, because I don't want to be 6 feet.
Just send him a video of you playing tennis. Right. Maybe that'll be enough of a thing for you to get implanted with his seed.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to pass on that. If anything, I'm going to implant him with my seed, and he's going to have my children.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, that was great. Good times. I hope everyone else listening had a good time as well. And I guess what's going to be your famous call off on this episode, Mary?
I think it's just going to be what it was on the last one, which is rest easy, because we are easy to swallow. And so I just want our listeners to rest easy and to be able to properly digest everything that happened tonight.
Nice. Wow. I love it. I love it. All right, everyone. You have a great weekend, day, whatever, time, night, whatever you're listening. And get ready for the next one. I think it's going to be another good one, even though we don't know what it is yet.
It's going to be so good. Okay, bye.
So good.